Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you have seen a news broadcast this past week? Hands up. Good, most have. Some of that news broadcast, how many of you saw pictures of the refugees and the people on the move in Syria, specifically in Idlib? Saw all the destruction where the town had been bombed, all the sort of the skeletons of buildings, people with all their belongings loaded up on buses, and the children, some of whom had been injured by the bombing. And maybe some of us even saw where a dad, in order to try and help his child live with all the stress and trauma going on, had trained the child to make a game out of hearing the bombs fall. Anybody see that? Yeah, okay. So, keep this image in your mind of all this confusion, of all this pain, of all this destruction. And take yourselves back with this imagery of destruction in your mind to 2,000 years ago, when after the temple fell in 70 AD, Jerusalem had been so roundly sacked by the Romans that it was said that in this city, including the temple, you could put a plowshare in the ground and have it hitched up to a donkey, and you could run a plow in any direction through Jerusalem without ever having to take the plow out of the ground. Now, that's before there was dynamite, before there was bulldozers. The destruction had been that amazing. And you have to remember in your mind, when you think of that image of that destruction of Jerusalem, that for the Jewish people, including the Christians, because all the people who followed Jesus in the way, for the 50 years from the time of Jesus' crucifixion to the destruction, 40 years from the time of Jesus, the time of the destruction of the temple, were all Jews. There was virtually no Gentiles. Well, there were some, but not many. And so they all felt and believed with all their heart that the temple was the presence of God among them, was in the temple. And when the temple went and was destroyed by the Romans, they actually thought that the Romans somehow had overthrown God and that they were now godless. There was great misery and great angst in the minds of the people of that time, because they thought, God has now abandoned us. How could God, who we love, allow the Romans to destroy God? We thought God was great. So get that, have that in your mind as well. Play the destruction scenes. Play this thought. And in the midst of that, this group who had been following Jesus used to spend their time in the temple. The temple had the lower place where everybody worshipped. You can see models of it today. There are exact scale models available. And the Jewish people sat in the lower part, and they would hear the readings of the Law, the Prophets, and the writings, and they would read the Psalms. And then up in the upper part of the temple, there was a gallery. And you've probably gone into some old Protestant churches and some Catholic and seen these galleries, especially in Europe. Well, they had a similar thing in the temple. And people who were not Jewish but wanted to be a part of the Jewish community and follow one God instead of a plurality of gods, many gods, they would go, but they were not allowed to be on the floor because they were Gentile. They were not Jewish. So they had to go upstairs. And they were upstairs as second class. And that's where the people who followed Jesus would go as well, even though most of them were Jewish. And they would say, We have a new message. We follow Jesus, the Christ. Jesus is Messiah, and He has come to us. And He loves you, and it brings a message that you all matter. You're all included. Even though you weren't born Jewish, God still loves you and wants you to be a part of the kingdom of God. So that was the message. When the temple was destroyed, of course, what happened to everything? In this dislocation, the Jews started going to synagogues, and there already were synagogues, but the synagogue before the destruction of the temple was like a community center, a Jewish community center, where they would learn practices and so on, and they'd, on Sundays, which was not their day of worship, Saturday is, they would go and have school, like they do today. But the Gentiles, they were sort of like left out because they wouldn't be allowed in this in these synagogues. And so they had a real bad time, especially when the temple was destroyed. But they all of a sudden realized through the presence of the Holy Spirit that the new temple is Jesus. And that Jesus is God alive on earth, and that God dwells in each person, not in a building, but God dwells within. And that was a whole new concept. And as the church developed, Matthew had written some work for the liturgy that was used by these converted Jews and these Gentiles who were following in the way. They followed the religious practice of the Jews, but they added the gospel of Matthew, and they read it Saturday by Saturday as a worship. And this was an augmentation to what was read in the Old Testament, as we call it. But they would call it in the Torah, the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. And so this was added to it. And as they were getting more and more removed from the ministry and time of Jesus, they had to try to understand Jesus in a new way. That Jesus is the light of the world. And that people started to understand that as they had the great prophets of Moses and Elijah, Jesus also joined equally with them. This is the beginning of the elevation and the understanding of the divinity of Jesus. That Jesus wasn't just like anybody else. He wasn't just a great teacher or a prophet or a rabbi. He was more than that. And this was the beginning, because with the understanding of Jesus, they were able themselves to withstand persecutions. Because the Jews started persecuting the people who followed the way. And that's why the centrality of the Christian church at that time, the way, were driven away from Jerusalem because of the destruction, but also out of what we call the Holy Lands, and they moved the center of their worship to Rome. They went to Rome, and they hid in the catacombs, and the church started to grow in Rome, so it gets more westernized and less Middle Eastern. So it shifts. And you can see this in the writings. So why is all that said on the day we're talking about the Transfiguration? Well, it's important that we see that the understanding of Matthew to help the people at the time was that God is radiant in Jesus. That Jesus is not just a rabbi. Jesus is more. Jesus is divine, and they were starting to understand that Jesus is Lord. And that was an important development, and you see this reflected, and that's why the Transfiguration, it was a way of explaining to people, this is how we understand Jesus. This is how it is. He was so brilliant and white, and God was with him, and God was saying, trust in Jesus. Trust in his teaching. Follow him. He is enlightened. And that message of enlightenment then is the message of enlightenment now. For we also now are in somewhat of a dark time. Our temples haven't been destroyed by somebody else, but the moral authority that we felt safe in within living in North America is under attack. The whole thing about law that is equal for all is under attack, with leadership thinking that they can take law into their own hands and change it for their own benefit. That's under attack. And that is under attack in both Canada and the U.S. We've had difficulties here. We're not just looking south. So it's a time of some darkness. But in the midst of this darkness, we must find light. And that light for me is Jesus. And we have to allow that light of love to be radiant within us. And we must not let the darkness overcome us. It is tempting sometimes to have a reactionary response. But we are called to be people of love, people of light, people who have been empowered in our journey by Jesus. And this empowerment must guide our feet. In our Bible study this morning, we were playing around singing little hymns, and one of them that one of the members suggested is that Jesus is a light unto my feet. And it's a good hymn. I used to sing it with the prisoners all the time when I was a chaplain. But we must, in this dark time, in this time of tension in our nation, remember that we respond to the situations not in darkness, not in reaction, but with thoughtfulness, prayerfulness, and remembering that Jesus is the light that enlightens us and enlightens our thinking and decision making. The light of love, the light of caring. Things must move on, but it must be in an enlightened way. And I pray today as we receive the sacrament that we remind ourselves that I am part of the light of Jesus in this world. May God bless us all as we journey and enlighten the world. Amen.